Was it like love at first sight or it took a while?
No, I pushed him away from...
I need to get headphones on this bit. I need to get headphones on now. Okay.
Good save.
I think the term for that would be homewrecking. Oh, fuck you, Sheena.
Exciting. And that episode hasn't even aired yet. So that'll air in a couple weeks.
They'll just cut the fuck you. And that's where we're at. Like, that's the best tea you got coming for you.
What up, you little turkeys? Welcome back to the podcast. Look, have an interesting episode today. More reality TV stars in the building from Vanderpump Rules. How you going, guys?
We've
got Brock and Sheena.
Sheena, yes. How are you?
You want to spell it for everybody, honey, so they all know?
Yeah.
S-C-H-E-A-N-A, just to make my life difficult.
Yeah. What is that name, like, special? Does it mean?
So the spelling is actually Russian.
Oh, are you Russian?
I am a little bit. Yes, I am. Have you seen my 23andMe? I'm mostly Russian.
You're also caveman as well. You were one part. What was it?
Whatever that Neanderthal.
Neanderthal. She was 0.01 thing of Neanderthal.
No, you're like 50%.
The size
of this guy.
I'm more than he is. So.
So how did you guys meet? You met on this show, right?
No, we actually met down in San Diego at an after party.
Had a bender at my place. Invite everyone over after Kaboo Music Festival.
Yeah.
Oh, I was there. What year was that?
This would have been
2 years ago.
I was in the house.
Kaboo every year. It's a good festival. It's like a local thing in San Diego. We had an after party after.
Yeah.
And then I realized it was going to be a rager, so I canceled it. Jumped in her car in the back of it. And then we went to, I just met these girls. I'm like, hey,
yeah, it was
we're
just
not having
mutual
a party.
Friends that we were out with knew him. They invited us to an after party, and I heard the accent and I was like, wait, I was just in Australia and New Zealand a few months ago. And then we kind of just hit it off from there.
Was it like love at first sight or it took a while?
No, I pushed him away for a good month. I was just like, this guy won't leave me alone. Oh my God.
Really?
And finally I was like, I guess I'll give
him
a chance.
Well, he looks like Jason Momoa. So it's like every girl's dream.
Totally. No, he's gorgeous. I was just very single and content being single at the time. I'm divorced. So this was like my single again in my 30s time. So I was like, I'm not trying to settle down. But then after a month of him chasing me and being so persistent,
I was
like, all
month?
Right.
Well, because 6 weeks later, you flew to Australia.
It was I met you. Shit. It was 3 weeks.
Hook, line, and sinker, baby.
And the fourth week was when we like made it official.
Yeah.
So
we met. We were just dating. I had no idea about like the show that she was on.
Right.
I knew she was on a show. I thought she was like some kind of like supermodel, like not supermodel, sorry, Instagram influencer. I was like, this influencer, here we go.
Yeah.
And for me and me from, I'm like, fuck, everyone in America is an influencer. This was before influencers realized this is a career.
Yeah.
And so I was like, here we go. And then I thought I was a legend. Well, rightly so.
He thought he was popular in San Diego until he hung out with me.
I'm the mayor of San Diego. I've partied in San Diego. I go all right. I got good friends and good places. But when we met, I was like, all right, whatever. And then I was playing rugby for USA. So we had the World Nines tournament in Australia. So I just met her, the man. I'm like, this chick, whatever. Well, look, I'm going to play rugby in USA. If you want to watch me, you can turn the TV on. And then I went to Australia, and then before rugby, I went to Bali for a holiday, and I FaceTimed her, and I was like, we FaceTimed all the time, and I was like, oh, it would be cool if you were here, and then so straight away, I was like, fuck it, why didn't you come out to Australia? Just get on a flight. If you want to do it, I'll take you out.
So I did.
So she brought her own flight out to Australia. I was like,
you got
cool.
Your own flight as well?
Yeah.
That's rare.
That's exactly.
That is rare.
A girl from LA paying for a shit? What is this? We call these unicorns, but yeah.
Thanks, honey.
Yeah. So that was a game changer. I was like, I mean, if you want to come out, you're more than welcome to. So she came out. We're what, a month and a half into dating?
Yeah.
Officially kind of like exclusive dating.
Uh-huh.
And then I was like, all right, I'm going to surprise her with a trip to Bali. But instead of telling her we're going to Bali, I thought, wait a minute, if I can get her to land in Bali and not know she was in Bali. So I told her we were going to go to Uluru. I'm like, we'll go to Uluru. We'll go see the fucking giant rock, you know? We'll go.
Light field. I was so excited for this light field.
She was so excited to go to Uluru. Middle of Australia, guys. It's this fucking rock.
Sounded fun.
Destroyed the dinosaurs, but we don't know. It's this big fucking rock in the middle of nowhere that's pretty cool.
It's crazy.
And so I've never been either. I was like, yeah, let's go to Uluru. But what I secretly did was when we were checking in, I ran ahead And I was like, hey, when I come over here, give us my tickets and say, have a safe flight to Uluru. They're like, well, you're going to Bali. I'm like, Uluru. Gave him the wink. I ran back over. She was trying to wrap my suitcase. You know how they wrap it at the airport?
I didn't even know that was a thing. He's like, can you wrap my suitcase? I'm like, what do you need your suitcase wrapped? It's not even like that nice.
Get it wrapped. And she's like, okay. And then so I got her through the first checkpoint, but it was nearly fucked up because they noticed her. And they're like, oh my God. I'm like, stick with the program here. We're going to Uluru.
Yeah.
Get her through there. Then we go to TSA, which is a normal check-in. I had the tickets, whatever. The next challenge I had was to get a sneaker onto the plane without her looking up saying Bali Denpasar. And then so next to Bali was like some island in Fiji airline. I was like, oh no, the gate change. We got to go here. And it's the name of it, whatever.
And I don't know what this place is called, like where we're flying into. So not like it was going to say Uluru necessarily. It was like, oh, okay, that's what the airport's called. I don't know.
Got her all the way onto the plane, bro. Checked in. She still thinks we're going to Uluru, but we're going to Bali.
Right.
And it was up to the point where the airport, the pilot does the announcements.
No, like, it wasn't that. It was
that was the point when I stood up. Oh, yeah. Because I'm like, I need to get headphones on this bit. I need to get headphones on her.
Okay. Good save.
I was about to say, because I don't want her to know what's going on. And then as I'm getting luggage out, some fucking Karen dude behind me was like, Karen. Wait, when am I going to get my bag back? And they're like,
his bag
get it.
Wouldn't fit in the overhead compartment. He's trying to stuff it. And the flight attendant's like, sir, when we land in Bali, you'll get your bag. And I was like, for a second still, I was like, is there a layover in Bali to get to Uluru? Like, I'm not very worldly, geographically smart. Yeah, so I was like, I don't even know where the fuck I am right now. And that's when I started looking around and I'm like, none of these people look like they're going to the middle of the outback. And I'm like,
hey,
are we going to Bali?
You never know. Australians go everywhere.
Right? Yeah. I was like, I'm gonna convince her.
Like, it looked more tropical than I had, like, boots on, like, ready for, like, an outback adventure.
Honey, I think back home, like, you could go anywhere with a pair of pluggers, a pair of shorts, and a t-shirt. Like, I'm ready for all environments. And if I get off the plane, like I do when I go from, when we landed last night, like when we flew back from Hawaii,
right?
Pair of jandals, pair of shorts, whatever. And I get off, I'm like, oh, it's chilly, but it's not like we don't prepare for that.
Well, you almost had it.
That's how we met. Met her, played rugby, took her to Bali, and then got hammered at Finn's.
Oh,
because Finn's is the cheapest place to drink.
It was like 2-for-1 bottles. There's only two.
And
the bottle
was like $100, so we're like, perfect.
Yeah, you feel like a baller there as well.
Yeah.
You can spend like...
Yeah, it's like millions, but it's like $20. Crazy.
Million rupiah. So that was like the start of this journey.
And here we are.
And so how long ago was that?
That was a little over 2 years ago. That was
like
at the beginning of November 2019.
So we've got two rare things here. A relationship in LA that's over a month.
Yeah.
And somebody buys their own flights. That's incredible.
Yeah, I pay for everything myself.
Wow.
I always have.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
You lucked out.
That's my unicorn, bro. That's why I put a ring on it.
I don't even have it on right now.
Are you trash?
Are you guys getting married next year?
Yes.
We're actually going to get married in Bali, bro.
Really?
Yeah. Because what he also didn't say is when we were in Bali, that's when he said, I love you for the first time.
Oh, yeah.
We figure let's go back there. We'll get married there.
Have you got the venue, everything sorted?
We have one that we want. We just need to see if we can get the date that we want as well. So
we have the date.
That's probably smart though, because
we got the venue?
We got the venue on the date.
Here's the thing, right?
It's like when it comes to planning, the less she knows, the better. Because once I say it's
not
done,
when it comes to a wedding.
Yeah, you're right. Actually, I'm the grooms on this one. I'm like, no, we got to do this. This I wanted elephants and monkeys. She's like, really can't do that.
I feel like you should do elephants.
That would be
politically correct. We're not allowed to have an elephant there, but I want
walk
an elephant
down the aisle on elephants.
I want like Aladdin scene where you come make way.
Well, that's
for
a movie, honey. That's not real life.
What if you like come out of the water or some shit on an elephant.
That's just the Aquaman crazy. Coming out of the fucking water.
That would be awesome.
It would be awesome, but that would not.
Also then get trialed by everybody in California for, you know, because it's inhumane.
Yeah.
Nah. No, wait. Think about the photos.
Think about the Instagram.
It'd be crazy. So this show that you're on, I haven't seen it. The first time I heard about it was today.
Yeah.
But apparently it's a big deal. Apparently
it's fucking especially crazy. Back home for you guys.
Yeah, apparently it's wild. See, he knows where I grew up. It's like the middle of nowhere. So like we're always outside. We're always doing stuff. So for the people that don't know what the show is, can you explain it a little bit?
So it started about 10 years ago as a group of friends who all worked at a restaurant together where Lisa Vanderpump from The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills is the owner.
Wow.
Yeah. So it started out as just like a bunch of mid-20s trying to make it in the entertainment industry, working in the service industry.
That's like winning a lottery ticket.
Yeah.
Like getting
and then
the
8 years later to have it.
Because we all really did work at the restaurant for her. So when she was filming Beverly Hills Housewives, it was like their second season, and they saw there was always so much drama she would have to deal with when she would come in and film at the restaurant.
What was the main drama that started off EPR?
Well,
let's go back to the original instigation here.
One of the dramas was one of the women on The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
Had a husband
who I didn't know he was her husband.
Oh, no.
And I was seeing him at the time.
Nice.
Oh, no.
So
I think your term for that would be homewrecking whore.
Thanks, right. Honey. So nice of you.
I love you now.
So
I didn't know
this
doesn't count.
Literally 15 years ago.
Wow.
Like, I didn't know who he was. He was a C-list actor like everyone else in LA.
Yeah.
So
they were producers.
Good-looking guy. Never wore a ring. We dated. Then I found out he was married. We stopped dating.
Yeah.
Fast forward a couple years. His then ex-wife is on The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. I'm literally walking around with a tray of fried goat cheese balls, offering them to people. And I see his ex-wife. She sees me. Then one of the girls who I was working at the restaurant with was like, this homewrecking whore. And then, boom, we get a spinoff and the show started. And
well, they should be thanking you.
You know,
did that happen like on the show?
Oh yeah, on the show.
It's like an organic spinoff from Housewives, right?
Because
it was
awesome.
An argument at a cafe, and then they go down that trip.
So the show started where I asked this woman to sit down so I could apologize to her. Even though I had no idea he was married, I felt like I owed it to her.
Wow, that's
and
awesome.
From there, it followed me going into work, clocking into my shift. And 9 seasons later, here we are.
Damn. Wow.
Yeah. So this is actually the first year I don't work at the restaurant.
Everyone on your show owes you.
Yeah. Thank
like,
you.
They should all like give you a pop tag, like in feed, or like give you a swipe.
Just get a producer credit.
Right?
Yeah. You should honestly get credits on every photo. Like,
yeah.
At least a tag.
You're welcome. Get another tattoo. You got it's all happening.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
You're welcome.
So that's crazy.
What's it like? Like, so you have your regular life and than your life on the show, and those worlds are kind of blended.
Totally.
But if there's a big event in your life, like, do you have to like not tell anyone, like as a spoiler or anything? Like, do you have to like
so
post
in the
that
beginning,
later?
Like, it started out that way. Like when I got engaged and married, we weren't allowed to post any photos because we didn't want any spoilers getting out. But the bigger that social media has gotten over the last 10 years with the show, they want us to post, you know, the day we get engaged. They're like, go ahead and post it right now, because then that just gives more,
like,
you know, excitement.
Okay,
for the show. But in the beginning, it was like everything was hush hush. So I was the first to get engaged on the show the first time. And then the next season when someone else, or 2 seasons later, someone else gets engaged, and I was like, wait, you get a post about it? I didn't get a post about it, but it was just the world changing with social media and Instagram growing.
Yeah.
So yeah. So this time around when I got divorced, spoiler alert, and then engaged again, we got to post it right away, which was exciting. And that episode hasn't even aired yet. So that'll air in a couple weeks.
Wow.
Yeah.
How quick is the turnaround time for like editing, for shooting and editing?
Usually about 6 months, but this year they did it even quicker because
like
we had been off air for a year.
3 months max.
Yeah, it was really quick turnaround.
They were still filming like add-ins and pickups as the next day was in the next show because it was off the season. It was being off for so long, and so they just needed to get it back out there.
Yeah.
Right.
And it kind of, the show definitely had to take like a learning curve because through the cancels and all that.
And then you have COVID that we're dealing
and
with.
And then we had the cancel stuff that happened with a couple of the cast members that got kicked
off
the show.
People got fired.
Fuck. Bro.
It was a whole different year for the show, but we did it. What's airing right now was filmed in July. So it's a pretty quick turnaround.
Wow, that's wild. And then, so for you, is it weird like starting to date someone and then like, on you and then like you're getting engaged on camera. Like,
I definitely find it a blessing, bro. Like, because within it, we met and then the show wasn't, well, the show still, because they don't know when they get picked up. So when we met, I met this chick that had a good career, was crushing it in life. And then the pandemic came in and no one knew what was going to happen.
Yeah.
So then we actually got to isolate with each other. We moved in with each other after like 6 months, which kind of really stressed that relationship.
Yeah.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
It took our 2.5 year relationship now. I added a year at least on it. And from it,
yeah.
I nearly walked out once. It was a big argument we had. I was like, fucking.
He started packing his bag. I was like, you walk out that door, don't fucking come back.
You know what I like about our audience is there's a lot of creative people that listen to the show.
So creative.
I'm creative. And you know what's great? If you're creative, Canva Pro.
Wow.
Yeah.
And if you haven't heard about Canva Pro before, we've spoken about them many times. It's essentially the one-stop shop, easy, super simple way, super simplistic way to make cool designs, make thumbnails, make social media content.
You could use on your laptop, your phone, whatever. It's got tons of fonts and plugins.
With Canva Pro's content planner, you'll save time planning, creating, and posting social media content too. You can pause, schedule posts, and edit them at any time. So it's super easy. So
yeah, you're going to Costa Rica, right?
Yeah.
You want to plan your content out.
Put it in this thing.
Yeah.
So you know when we need to post this.
Yeah.
Then you can make your feed a little bit more structured.
Yep.
Or whatever. I don't know. It's just fun. And it's also fun to play around. Maybe you thought about starting your own business or creating a logo or doing something different or just being a little bit more creative. Now is your chance. Design like a pro with Canva Pro right now. You can get a free 45-day extended trial when you use my promo code. Just go to canva.me/tapin to get your free 45-day extended trial. That's canva.me/tapin. canva.me/tapin.
You'll save tons of money. You don't have to hire people. It's great because sometimes you hire people, you'll pay someone, they'll just go on Canva and do it.
Yeah.
And it's like, just do it yourself.
It's easy.
Yeah.
So easy.
Exactly.
Cut out the middleman.
He then unpacked his suitcase.
It wasn't immediately, but
she called the bluff.
My normal bluff works. I'd be walk around. My normal MO and Brock would be like, all right, play more fish in the sea. Here we go. But then I realized like, well, if I stick to this, which we did,
yeah,
we came out on top. But that was different because if we were dating for 6 months and we start the next season and I had to deal with the shit I had to deal with this season.
I don't think we would have lasted.
Without having this relationship, solid,
terrible.
Like confidence in it, I would. Because this was real, bro. Like, because obviously I was new on the show. I came on and they went for my background. They're like, oh, where are you from? Fucking talking about my ex and my two kids back in Australia.
Yeah.
And they no hold, but it was the delivery of the context. It wasn't true. It was just, they would take something that was true and then just say their version and put the spin on it. And I was like, fuck, this is real, but it's real, but it's
and
not real, but it's real.
And when someone says something on the show, it's just like taken as like Bible. Like she could say one thing and whether it's true or not, people are going to believe it. People are going to form their own opinions about it. So it's like until you actually like listen to our podcast, Shenanigans, and get his entire story. Yeah, little plug.
Like that.
And like actually listen to the whole story, not just an edited version of someone else's words.
Wow. Yeah, no, it's well, especially with shows because they take like literally 10% of something.
Of a conversation. And get the highlight reel out of it.
And
like, here
push
we go.
It.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's wild. What was the biggest thing you guys learned in quarantine, like being like stuck together for 6 months?
That we wanted to stay together, I think. It was just such a crazy time in the world. I mean, we thought it was going to be a 2-week lockup. We're just like, ooh, little vacay in Palm Springs, went to my house out there. And then once we realized the severity of it and how crazy it was, and now we're 4 months in,
wow.
I got pregnant. We had a miscarriage. It was a very trying time for our relationship. But at the end of that, we realized we really did want to stay together and make this work. And whether there was a show or not a show. And then he got me pregnant again, and now we have a baby. And
it was good. I think
what a roller coaster. Huh?
Yeah, it really was.
Yeah, we worked
2020
well.
Was crazy.
We definitely worked well, and we came out of that. I think with the opportunity of whatever comes our way is going to be together, and now it also allows for me to focus on everything else now. Because before that, I used to just be this mayor of San Diego that would just rock up to my gym and like no sleep and just like, you know, get through it. Whereas now, like, I'm like, all right, cool. I'm going to bed, honey. Boom. And now I've really got that dialed in. I can really focus my energy into other things too. So I think out of it, like, I think we both kind of evolved from the pandemic and kind of looked at our situations. She started focusing more on her podcasting and kind of YouTube as well. We picked up. And just kind of really leveraging what she had, because you, let's say she's been on show 10 years ago, 10 years ago, YouTube was picking up and all that. But if you're on a show, you're on a show, you don't think about outside of the show.
Yeah.
And so I really put a question mark out there, like, hey, what if this was to happen again or the show wasn't to come back? How are you going to continue making money, rah, rah, and leveraging what we have? And I think Sheena did a great job the last year and a half of doing weekly YouTube channel, doing weekly things to kind of grow outside of what the show created. Put her in a bubble. Now she can kind of leverage that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's pretty easy, especially on like a reality show, to get complacent, right? Mm-hmm. To just like sit still and be like, cool. Because I realize, because I've done two shows that have aired, and every on both shows, everyone that's kind of come on has just like done the show and then be like, cool, I've made it. And then after like 2 months, they're not making money anymore.
Right.
They're like fully like falling off, and they go back to their normal jobs and they don't know what to do.
Yeah.
So
I think the best thing is just to keep trying to move forward and looking at like different avenues. And I think the biggest thing is something you're passionate about, you know, like entertainment's the biggest part, but you know, 9 seasons is fucking
it's crazy. And every year I feel like this could be our last year. This is like, we never know if the show's going to get picked up. It keeps getting picked up. We're so blessed, but I'm always thinking about, you know, the future, and we realize that we do work really well together. So that's also a blessing. Cause I've never had someone that is such a good life partner, but also like business partner with like my YouTube and my podcast. And now he has a business that he's starting that I want to help with as well.
Is there going to be like a Vanderpump spinoff?
So I think last season it was going in that direction where they were going to take all of the OGs who are on the show, who are now like all of the moms, and give them their own show and then keep the other show focused at the restaurant. But then people got fired. There was a pandemic. So none of that happened. So now I think it would kind of just stick to where it's at. And just kind of go from there and just go in a different direction.
Yeah.
I don't really see it.
All the moms
off.
Should do a show, and then it's like the Beverly Hills Housewives
in between.
And circles.
Yeah.
That's full circle.
That's kind of what I like. I've kind of like felt this season, and I was only new, but I was kind of like, this isn't what it used to be, but it also isn't what it should.
Well,
we kind of like had to establish that this season where
this
everyone.
This season was different in the sense where it wasn't just the drama of who slept with whose boyfriend, who's picking up whose shift. It was really focusing on our family life. It got to be a lot deeper and focused on everyone's businesses. Like, I feel like you're being humble, but like you have a big startup called Homebody that the show has followed this year too. So it followed a different aspect of our lives that you've never really seen before. You never saw like our businesses on the show before. And this season, my podcast finally got plugged. And it's like, I've had the show for almost 4 years, but you finally are hearing about it.
They're finally like opening up and showing more of, okay, let's go with this narrative.
Showing you more people.
And I think hopefully this season, if it was like you see the Tom stepping away from Lisa to open their own business. They still have the lessons that Lisa taught her, and we still have that. Everyone still has these connections, but it's kind of like watching Lisa's kids grow up.
Right.
And now they're going to go into, and that's where I saw this season kind of pivot to. But at the same time, like, who knows what you guys like, because we filmed the reunion and it was an absolute shit show.
Some people had COVID, so they're joining in on Zoom. There's like a delay. We have an earpiece.
We thought
it was a
shit show, but production was like frothing at the mouth. They were just like, that was organic. That was perfect.
I mean, it was very 2021.
I was going to say, I feel like a delay would piss me off. Get so hot out of the
car. There was one point where my best friend Ariana and I literally took out our earpieces. She threw hers. I just set mine down because I didn't want to break it. But it was just like, fuck this. I'm not listening. I was like, I'm just going to put it on my lap. And she threw it.
So you guys have a kid together, yeah?
Yes.
Are you worried about the kid kind of growing up with like all this attention and stuff like that? Are you keeping the kid like kind of away from like?
No, she's definitely in it. She has more followers than he does. She came out of the womb with a blue check mark.
She had a blue check mark.
So rude.
I was just like,
the disrespect.
I was like, I gotta do
your own blood.
Yeah, do better. Wow. Yeah, so no, I mean, my life is right now the show. The show is my life. They go hand in hand, and I have signed up to give 100% of my life, not just part of it. So,
and I think I think like security aspect, like she's my daughter, so
I don't think anyone's gonna fuck with him.
Yeah, she could do like if some weirdo has like he's done, you know. But it's like, it's kind of like I will protect my child, but at the same time, like overexposure, like she still doesn't play with an iPhone, which I'm happy for. Like. I'm going
she's
back to
eight months old. Of course she's going to play with
Are you kidding me? Have you seen these kids that just get tablets put under their fucking laps?
She's not even walking yet.
I'm telling you, look online. You see these little kids that the parents that just throw shit in front of their kids?
I think that's like 3 years old. Yeah. Maybe 2 years old.
Okay, go find.
He's freaking out.
Listen, we were in Hawaii and I saw like these little 14-year-old boys walking around. I was just watching them like kind of like chat how they're interacting with each other. I was like, I'm just have to bust one of these boys' balls sometime. And I'm not looking forward to this.
Yeah.
Because I know what I was doing when I was 14, 15, 16, 20.
Yeah.
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 So I was like, oh, slow down. But it's time, bro. So I will protect my family and my daughter. But this, what we have now, where we've grown from like all these opportunities and where we've pivoted, and I only see it as a positive. I don't see the negative yet of having her, like, if she wants, I want to do YouTube with her, right? I want to read the books and have like animation come up behind us.
Yeah.
And so I feel like that's a positive thing. And as long as it's handled on that aspect, it could always be delivered as a positive way.
Yeah.
If it gets private and people were like, oh, don't take a photo of your child. Like, I don't get that aspect of it yet.
Right.
So,
yeah, I mean, to each their own, but for us, we're very public with our lives. And when she sees a camera, her face lights up. So,
wow,
she's a little star.
Wow, that's awesome. Yeah, because I know like a few people are a little bit like stressed out. I'm like, I'm friends with the Ace family, and they obviously their kids' entire lives are on it. So, I'm always like curious because like you see some of those celebrities, Gigi Hadid like fully like hit her baby's face.
Yeah.
And stuff like that.
That's just so much work, honestly.
Seems stressful,
like,
what are you afraid of?
Yeah, I was like, who's coming for the? I mean, there's weirdos out there.
There are,
I'm not going to say
totally.
That. But that's why I will be there to protect my child. But it's like, as long as you can.
Yeah, you're the size
that.
Of an oak tree as well.
Where are you going, bro?
Are you thinking about like going back to Australia at all? I know you've got like your kids back there.
Well, obviously, with the pandemic and Australia's really kind of stuck to their rules. At least Queensland's just started opening up. But the biggest one for us is the quarantining aspect. I'll fly home in a heartbeat, but I'm not going to fly home and sit in a hotel room for 10 days.
Yeah, it's like a camp.
They're building camps. Did you know this?
Oh,
so
yeah.
In Perth, Adelaide and Queensland now, they've gone to like their military reserves and they've got all these bunkers set up, all these cabins. And they've just revamped them. The government's doing a full government program where if you have COVID and you need isolate, you'll go there.
Wow. Yeah, if you're like suspected of being in contact with someone who has COVID. Not if you have it. Mm-hmm. If you've possibly been in contact with someone who has COVID.
Yeah, so they've got these facilities where you can go. The government's paying for it. So that way you're not putting your family out. They're just going to give you the service. You don't have to pay for it, but we want you here.
Wow.
And you can you go there and then you isolate out there. But it's how they handle it. It's not America. Would it work over here? But that's why we're in America, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I look forward to going home, but I want my daughter to grow up back home a bit too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want her to have like just an attitude about herself and confidence and kind of get out of this.
The goal would be to spend a few solid months every year, I think, in either New Zealand, Australia, hop back between the two. He was saying that he wants her to do like one semester in New Zealand, one semester
I
don't think
you'll be the coolest kid in school if like, I'm just going back to Australia for 3 months. See you later,
but
mate.
If we could do like summer school every year in Australia or New Zealand or something like that and have a big chunk of time where we just go out there because I want her to grow up with that culture
And it's a good culture to have because I feel like back home it's a careless culture.
Yeah, everyone's outside.
And it's careless. We kind of give more. And I feel like you really, really develop good skills.
Especially Kiwis, though. Like, I always would say it's, like, so wild, especially in the South Island. Like, whenever you're driving, everyone just waves at you. Everyone just says hi and is, like, so friendly.
See? They wave. They say hi.
Everyone's friendly back home, but you come here and everyone's just, like
he was making fun of me the other day when we were in Hawaii. We had these, like, ATV Raptors. And when we would drive by the other tours, I would wave to people. He's like, why are you waving? I'm like, it's polite. I don't know. I like to wave.
No, I would say like whenever I find like my wife and stuff, I feel like I'm gonna move back to Byron Bay. Have you been to Byron Bay?
I've been to Byron Bay. Yeah,
I feel like that would just be so perfect. Like raise a kid there and like live on the beach and like it'd be so perfect.
It's a complete disconnect from the world we live in right now. And then and I see the benefits of that, but it's kind of like. But we still got to connect somehow. But if you can connect, you can still connect from Byron Bay. You can still podcast.
Sure.
This is the perks of all of this. So
I honestly think that like Australia's just the place to be. It's just so relaxed, but
I love it.
It's
there.
Just scary. Like the 2 weeks, I couldn't do 2 weeks. It just stressed me out.
Honestly, it's a time thing. It's like I will fly home because we've got a kid. And it's kind of like as soon as we lift that, I'm back home in a heartbeat, and then we'll be home regularly.
It's not like you're just in, like, you know, you're not just at the Four Seasons with room service and a pool and a spa. Like you're in a hotel room with a baby. Locked, like there's just no. I could do a hotel for 2 weeks, but not a lockdown type
with the baby.
No.
So you guys have been together 2.5 years.
Yeah.
How do you keep the spark alive? Like, are we having sex 5 times a week? Like, what's going on?
I'm a hungry little hippo.
Yeah. You're a hungry little hippo.
And I don't have much time.
Don't have much time.
And I don't have much money.
Shit.
What do I do?
Look, I have the solution for you. It is America's number one meal kit. It is HelloFresh.
Is it good?
It's amazing. We love HelloFresh over here. I've personally had HelloFresh delivered to my door, and it made me feel like Gordon Ramsay.
That's awesome. I also don't know how to cook either.
That's why they have this little one. It's literally one piece of paper.
Yeah.
It has all the instructions. So easy to follow. You'll come out feeling like a god. You'll serve it up. You'll
impress people and all that.
Impress everyone. You'll impress your mom. She'll finally be proud of us.
That's cool. Can I get like other stuff, like little treats and stuff on the side too?
HelloFresh has everything and they're here to take care of you. It is the holiday season. It's the time to indulge. But my thing is, let's indulge with like healthy food and like good food, or like just watch our proportions so that we don't come into summer feeling that would be left behind.
Yeah, because I am a hungry hippo, but I don't want to be a fat hungry hippo. I want to be like a hungry hippo with a six pack.
I've seen many of those hippos. So HelloFresh offers the flexibility you need to easily customize your order on the app within minutes. Easily change your delivery day, food preferences, plan, size, or skip a week.
And I'm vegetarian. They got
There's just so much going on here.
Yeah. Well, they do. It sounds great.
Yeah, they have literally everything.
Well, I don't know them yet though. Like, how do I trust them? Like, do they have like a deal for me?
Of course. That's why you're listening to the podcast.
You use them, right?
Of course. They're fucking great. So go to HelloFresh.com/tapin14 and use the code tapin14 for up to 14 free meals and 3 free gifts. Listen to this one more time and listen carefully. Go to HelloFresh.com/tapin14. Use the code TAPIN14 for up to 14 free meals and 3 free gifts. It's America's number one meal kit, and that is a Christmas miracle.
Oh,
We are hitting the nail on the head like every fucking 3 months. No.
After you have a baby, that changes.
Really?
So, yeah, I mean, in the beginning, I remember when we were in Bali, I was on FaceTime with one of my girlfriends, and she was like, so how many times have you guys had sex? I was like, I think this morning was 17, and it was like just in a few days. So we used to be crazy.
Wow.
Then we have a baby, and then, you know, the baby sleeps next to you in a bassinet for 6 months, and then even if you put her in the crib, then she starts crying, and it's just
stressful.
It's very different.
It's definitely different. We had a fun moment one time.
We're
like, look, let's try this. So we're at a pump, like, baby's inside, let's sneak away, let's get it on.
Yeah.
And I'm an intimate lover, I feel like. And so like I want to make sure she's in the mode and I vibe off her enjoying herself in the moment.
Yeah.
So I'm, you know, down there trying to get the spark going, and halfway through it, I'm kind of just like, her head's not in it. Like, I know she's not into this. Like, what's going on? And then doesn't get me going. I'm like, babe, what do you think about? She's like, and then she's like, well, I was thinking about you down there. Then I was thinking about having
the same
a baby.
Since
is
I
it
pushed
the same?
The baby out? Is the baby gonna roll off the couch right now?
And I knew that. Yeah. And I was like, if your head's not in it, my head's not in it. So I love you. Let's just. So it's. I think the spark is just respect, and then from there, if she respects the fact that my willy's not working the same, and I respect it when it's not there right now.
But also, I feel like in my past relationships, I used to put so much emphasis and importance on sex, and that was like the most important thing. I'm like, how I couldn't understand how some of my friends would only have sex every few months, and it was like, it took meeting the right person and having that right connection where I'm like, that doesn't have to be the most important thing. It's still important, and now when we've had it since baby, it's like a different level.
When we have it now, we're like, we still got it. We're good. Yeah, it's just good. Okay, we haven't lost it. We just got to, and it's definitely.
We're also tired a lot.
It takes work.
So I'm like, I would love to right now, but like.
Really? You got, how long are you guys having sex for? For me, it's like a couple minutes.
I,
and I'm like,
I don't know.
Oh, no, no. I mean, like, we're tired every day. Like, we don't sleep a lot.
This is not a marathon.
No, no, no. But it's just like, even think about it.
Sweating on it for an hour? Like, that's not fun. No one wants that.
We're good in a few minutes.
If you can do the job, you do the job well. You know? It's about being efficient.
Exactly. Yeah,
and when it happens, we're like, oh, we still got this. We're good. Don't worry about it. Good. We'll find our feet again.
Are you guys good at communicating with each other? Is like, what's been the
bro,
biggest
have you seen their show?
Yeah, it is communication.
I watched like one clip from the show and everyone was like fighting with each other. Yeah. And I was like, why can't you guys just solve these arguments? I feel like I would communicate so well in this situation.
It would probably be more of a boring show if we were just so good at talking.
This is what makes the show, and this is how I took it this year. It's like when I speak to you guys, I'll have a filter.
Yeah.
And if I have an opinion on what you do, or I'll be like, that's a shit shirt or something like that. It's not a shit shirt, but I'm just saying.
It's my friend's band.
But you know what I mean? Like, if somebody said something like that, and in your head you're like, don't say that. It might mean something to him. You have a filter.
Yeah.
The show really pushes you to really just speak your mind. And that is real. That's what happens sometimes. But I think there's a disconnect, and not a disconnect, but this could happen. If you speak your mind too, like if you speak your mind and you just sell yourself for the camera, then you know that you said that and that is who you are.
Yeah.
And so I was really aware of that this season. I was like, sometimes there was something that came up that I really didn't want to get into, but you know, we have to.
Yeah.
And I was like, fuck. Yeah.
But to answer your question, I do think that we have very good communication. I think that's been one thing from day one, that we don't let things just bottle up. We do talk about it when something's bothering us. And sometimes we may fight because of that, which is frustrating because I just like things to be perfect and easy all the time. And that's not realistic. So I do think that we have great communication, honey.
Thanks, babe.
And with the other contestants of the show, do you hate them? Like, are you friends with any of them?
I've hated some of them.
Do you hate them?
No, because I know, like, when you leave these shows, like, people, like...
You need time away.
You watch it back, and you're like, oh, you're actually, like, a little bitch.
Right, that's the worst part, right? Because you only see what our interactions are right here. We leave, and you guys talk shit on us with a camera on you. And then I see this...
And then you go do your interviews where you're just sitting there by yourself talking shit. And I'm like, oh.
Do you ever feel like when you watch back, you're like, oh, I could have fucking slammed him right
there.
All
the time. Especially this season because so we started filming 3 days after I came home from the hospital after giving birth.
Wow.
Literally 3 days. And I have cameras in my face. I'm the biggest I've ever been. I know I just had a baby, but I'm so uncomfortable. I did not feel like myself. My emotions, my hormones, everything was just so heightened. And now, like, watching it back, I'm like, I feel like me again. Like, I got my spark back. And then I'm watching these scenes where I'm just, like, being so passive and sitting there. And I'm like, speak up. Say something.
Yeah, like on the TV, like, speak.
Yeah, I'm like, this can't be our last season because I don't want to go out like this. Like, I wasn't me. And so at the reunion, I was like, all right, I'm ready. I'm going to tell them exactly how I feel. And then they're on a fucking TV screen. I was like, damn it.
Zoomed in.
Because you have so many altercations with people, is there sometimes the bond stronger because you've worked through so much stuff?
Like, which is weird to
think. You've been through war together.
When I came on the show, like, Sheena's telling me about her relationships with these people. I'm like, are you fucking white? Just cut the bitch. Like, move on. Like, there's no need to have this drama. Like, but that's because in an outside world or an outside environment, you just do that. You're like, all right, cool story, bro. You just don't talk to that person again. It's not a problem. But these guys are in a group together. They are friends. And now you have to have these awkward conversations where you're like, oh, how do you feel about that? How did that make you feel? And now you get into a deeper level. So which is annoying. Like, we actually, you built, and I couldn't understand that concept because when I came in, I was like, fuck you. Well, bullshit. Kick rocks. You're talking shit to her. And then six weeks later, we're like, oh, you want to go get coffee together?
Yeah.
Because you go through those trenches and you get deeper. And it's a, and it is, it is deeper, and yeah, you, it's a job
and
for these
guys. And it forces
guys.
You to see the other person's perspective more, whereas, you know, just sometimes in life, it's like, oh, well, fuck you, I'm over it. Mm-hmm. But then I'm like, okay, well, actually, I understand where you're coming from, and this is why it hurt you, so let me try to be better about that with myself. And you learn a lot about yeah. yourself.
I was going to say, it makes you, like, self-reflect.
100%.
You sit down and you, like, think about it. I was like, I was actually like a piece of shit.
Yeah.
Because like when
that was never me. But that, never,
because when I went on, I was just like, well, I'm gonna talk shit about everyone because I feel like I'm not gonna be friends with everyone. So I was just like, I'm gonna go crazy. And then I watched back. I was like, ooh. Really, I could have like so that been was a little bit more mature.
And that was the comment I made earlier. Like when you're on the show, you feel like you need to be this person because you're like, oh, this is what reality is expecting from
yeah.
you. And then you go hand, you have your opinions. But then the 6 months later comes by where the reckoning is like, oh, I have to be accountable for what I just said.
Yeah.
But you're really not that asshole, but I just said that. And that's where I kind of like this season, I knew that I was like, when they tell me to say some stuff, well, what's your opinion on this? I'm like, I don't have an opinion on that. That's not my relationship. They're like, well, you need to have an opinion. I was like, no, I don't. Next question. Yeah. Because I knew I didn't want to kind of get stuck in that by saying something. Because mm-hmm. as soon as I say it, yeah. however, like, fuck you, Sheena. I love you so much. They'll just cut the fuck you.
Yeah.
Fuck right. you, Sheena. And then it's like, how do I say that?
Yeah.
So I was very aware, but at the same time, I wanted to try and be natural with and express what I was saying too.
Yeah.
So that's funny. I get what you're saying for that.
So mm-hmm. so what happens next? Do you know if there's another season coming? Do you know, are they like, are you getting recorded right now?
We don't find out until like springtime, and then we usually film in the summer. So we just filmed our reunion, so we're completely wrapped for season 9. And wow. then fingers crossed for a season 10, but we won't find that out for a few more months.
Wow. And then so, are you allowed to work on any other shows or just strictly with these guys?
It just kind of would depend on what the show is, what right. time it's filming, if it's a conflict, because obviously we are in contracts with the network. So it would just depend on what it is. If it was like Dancing with the Stars or something and it didn't conflict with when we're filming in the summer, then like, yes, we would be able to do that. So it would just depend.
I was showing for Bachelor, but that's no longer on the table.
I feel like you'd do it. Just tell her to stop. Don't post like,
hey, honey,
media.
We're in an open relationship. We're good.
Yeah, we're gonna
He ruined my dreams of being the Bachelorette.
We ruined
I was
each
on
other's
that
dreams.
Road. I was like, okay, if Vanderpump Rules doesn't get picked up, then I have a chance at being the Bachelorette. And then he just came in and like sweep me off my feet and ruined those dreams.
You don't need those nice dates. Don't set the bar too high. It wasn't set that high anyway.
I could see you as a Bachelor. It'd be crazy.
He would be good on it too, bro. Applied for it?
No, I don't. You have to be on The Bachelor at first.
There's like a couple exceptions where they pull.
You might be. You might be an exception. You might be fun to watch.
I feel like my goal was to be the first like Australian American Bachelor.
Yeah,
yeah.
I want to be the first Australian American Survivor winner.
Yeah. Oh,
that is my shit. That is my shit. But I can't. You can't do it until you're an American citizen. So that's me getting my green card and then applying for my citizenship.
Oh, really?
So this is my 4-year roadmap. You heard it here first.
I know.
I am winning.
You guys
Survivor.
Should do Naked and Afraid together.
Oh.
Oh.
He would be great on that.
I'll just be naked. I don't want to be afraid. Yeah. I'm like, fucking awesome.
What are you afraid of?
Licking some toads. Like, let's go. Oh.
No, because I know with Survivor, when we were filming the first show that I was on, they had an island in Fiji, like over there.
And that's where they do it.
They literally had boats and shit, like SWAT army, like around it, making sure no one would come in. Like, apparently on the show, no one is allowed to talk to the cast, like only the host.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So like the camera people... Everyone is under strict contract that they cannot talk to them. Like, it's so strict.
Yeah.
So could the Survivor Island people see all the Too Hot to Handle people just eating and drinking and just like, fuck.
They're just on another island. They're talking
about fucking guys. Imagine. That would
fucking suck. I'd just swim out. Like, I'm going to get a shark. I'm just going to swim over to your island, fucking party with everybody, and swim back drunk with a fucking cheeseburger. Like, what is?
Yeah, fuck.
Look what I caught. What the fuck? From McDonald's, just come back with a KFC feast. There you go, boys. There's a bucket. I go for a whole day. They come back before tribal. I walk out with my thing. Where were you? I was like, well, let me grab the cooler.
Yeah.
I got rations. There's a fucking lighter.
Fuck. So we got your 4-year plan. Where do you want to be in 4 years?
I eventually would love to host a show, like whether it's Daily Pop on E, or like The Real, The Talk, like one of those type of shows. If it was a game show, I mean, I just want to do hosting.
Yeah.
But I also, like, I love where I'm at with this. So it's like, I would hope that Vanderpump Rules continues. I keep building my YouTube, my podcast I love doing, but eventually I'm able to do all of that and host a show, because I just think that'd be so fun. Just get a show up and read a teleprompter. And it's what I got my degree in. I studied broadcast journalism.
Wow.
So I want to put that to work one day.
That is wild.
Yeah. What about you, bro? Where's you in 4 years?
Fuck. Well, I really want to be in a Marvel movie.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Like that's
I literally saw an extra work for being like an extra alien on Guardians of the Galaxy. I was like, fucking done. She's like, it's $25 a day. I was like, I don't care. I just want to be
it's a principle.
In the movie.
I just want to have my name on the credits.
Because I promise you, if they put me into a movie as an alien, they're giving me more fucking roles. They're like, this guy come forward a bit more. Yeah. Okay, you can do more. Do more.
This is the biggest alien ever.
Right?
Fucking crazy. Yeah, no, I feel like being, I don't know. I watched the Marvel movies. And I was literally just like, imagine just like, my best friend said to me, he's like, oh, you should be in there. Even if I was like an extra or some shit, but I really want to be The Bachelor. Like, that's been like, I've been saying that from the start. Like, it would be fucking hilarious.
Yeah.
It'd be good. And like, I'm the worst. I'm so hopeless when it comes to like trying to find like love.
You need help. So you need,
I need
you
so
need
much
it.
Help. I need 30 girls in a mansion trying to like woo me over.
To woo you over, to get you to that point.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like it would be chaotic though. I probably would get myself in a lot of trouble, probably get canceled, but I really want to do it. So what's next for you guys? What are anything we can look for? You got your app?
Yeah, so, well, obviously with the pandemic coming in, I looked at a lot of things. So you've got like OnlyFans and you've got cameos and all that for creator space. And so I was like, how do we do that for fitness?
Right.
I saw everybody going on their Zooms or their live workouts on Instagram in the pandemic with their audience, like, let's work out together. And we did the same thing. And I was like, what happens if you build a platform out where creators can go to their audience? Hey, who wants to do a workout with me?
Yeah.
Schedule the workout, the widgets with like the timers and the intervals, and then go live. And then you can invite your audience. Hey, it's a $10 class. Let's go work out. So Homebody is a platform where creators can schedule, design, and host live classes, Q&As, and just live works with a paywall up.
Sick.
And then you guys get the revenue model of OnlyFans, where people subscribe to your channel or your live, and they get your lives on demand where they can do any other live. And so, and then you can also sell products through their fitness products. Sick. And do brand deals. So Homebody is the future for me. It's my startup. I started a year and a half ago.
Oh, wow.
And the show supported it. They got a lot of interest in that. And then we're launching in January to a soft launch. And then through next year, you guys, a lot of creators will start hearing more about it. Once we can sustainably hold 1,000, 2,000 users in one live workout. Then we know we've done it. And that way creators like yourself could be like, hey, look, guys, every week I'm going to be doing an ass and abs workout.
Yeah.
In my budgies.
Great combo.
Fucking $10 a class. Make it rain, baby. I will pay your rent.
I was going to say, it must be stressful to build the software for that type of shit.
I am not the tech guy. I spent a lot of time, a lot of money overseas, learned a lot of lessons. Now I've come back to the stateside. But we've spent nearly $300,000-$400,000 on just the build out design because there's so many moving parts.
Fuck.
It's not my own money. I raise money, you know?
Yeah, thank God.
America's amazing. You can go out with an idea and someone's going to believe in you. You go back home and you go, hey, boys, I want to do something. They're like, yeah, good luck with that. And they just go back to the pub and they stick.
It's different.
There's so many opportunities over here and I'm really running with that. So, yeah, I'm looking forward for the next year. I'm putting it out there at the end of the year, next year, once we go live and we prove our concept. We're going to do well, and then I'm going to get The Rock on board, bro.
On board.
I'm going to have like a vision it now. It's going to be at the Wynn. We're going to have our yearly seminar where all the creators are going to come out. We're going to party, celebrate what we're doing, how to create more money and revenue for creators, and roll out what we got coming out. And The Rock is going to be the fucking man investing in with us. And
wow.
That's kind of the plan.
You got to put it out there. You have to put it out there.
Yeah. It's kind of, I got the whole intro and everything.
That would be crazy. I can see you guys training together.
Right. Imagine if The Rock,
the testosterone in that gym.
Once a month, The Rock's like, hey, I'm doing my workout. This is what you need. And then you can go to a gym and just put it on the screen and everyone's just fucking pumping iron with Dwayne Johnson.
Yeah,
that would be crazy. That experience. And then we can raise a big one of Homebody is like a charity aspect. So once we get rolling, it's like, hey, this month is what do we got? We've got Mental Health Awareness Month. Boom, we're going to raise money for this and be a small nonprofit that really gets our hands on and invite the creators in and to do these experiences, to go to Africa to build some wells, to go somewhere else, to go help some children and all that. So there's a charitable aspect to it. But I think as long as I keep it small enough, but best thing about tech is it's once you build the product, it's a small network to run it.
Yeah.
And then we just go out, get creators on board and run it from there.
Wow. How about yourself?
I have a capsule collection with a company called Bella Boss Clothing Nice. Line. So we just released our holiday collection that's available now. Working on another next year. And yeah, just keep up with my YouTube and podcast. Hopefully a season 10. But if not, we have some things in the works that we want to do together. So
wow.
Yeah.
Well, guys, keep an eye on these guys. What's your Instagram so everyone can give you a follow?
Mine is just at Sheena, S-C-H-E-A-N-A.
Simple when you have a name spelled like that.
Go ahead and say yours, underscore, underscore.
Yeah, it's Brock the second. So Brock underscore, underscore Davies.
I think there's a lot of people that listen to this podcast and watch the show, I'm assuming. I think there's a lot of spillover. And I think they want to know, like, dirt. Like, they want to know, they want to know some shit that never made the air or whatever.
Yeah.
Then come over and listen to shenanigans.
There you go.
What we got? My biggest pet peeve, and we're going to speak about it on yours some more, so you can come listen to the deep of it. It's just like there's a spin on the storylines that come out, and it's like we said before, like it's one version or the other, but it's like, look, real quickly, I'm not going to pay for my photo shoot or my wedding, sorry, from my business account. Like I said, I spent $400,000 on building it out.
It was your engagement, not the wedding.
So my engagement / wedding was going to cost me a fair amount. It got canceled because of COVID restrictions. We couldn't get the venue on the time. And then they spun it, and it's coming out this week. It was spun out as if I couldn't afford to do any of this. And she's like, Brock, I spent so much money.
There's so many scenes where she's saying.
I spent so much money on like my homebody brand at a photo shoot and all this shit.
Yeah.
But I can't afford to take care of my wife, which fast forward 6 months to today. Yeah. Turns out she can't afford to take care of her husband. Oh, fiance. T.
Oh.
It's not my problem, mate. Her cookie wasn't the cookie to eat, okay?
Thank you guys so much for listening to Tap In with Harry Jowsey.
Hey, it is what it is, you know? She said some stuff, and I'm not okay with it, you know? Do you take money from your business for your personal life? Never happens. So don't assume that I'm going to take money to afford a nice lifestyle for you from my business's money, because I'll never do that.
Yeah.
Simple. And that's where we're at. Like, that's the best tea you got coming for you.
Yeah.
Wow. And that's a wrap.
Well, thank you so much for listening. If you did enjoy this episode, drop 5 stars, leave a comment, and have a great evening.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys. Care.